come on in.
And now, back to the Bill Frank Radio Show.
The kids love him.
And your host.
Welcome to paradise.
Bill Frank.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to The Bill Frank Show on KVTA, News Talk 1520, bringing fresh perspectives to Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is business and politics. Each of my guests will share his or her perspective on one or the other of these topics. My next guest is a Ventura businessman and serial entrepreneur. Until last year, he was the managing director of OFCO, the group that builds and manages and maintains the newest office building in Ventura, 60 California Street. We'll discuss the building of 60 California Street and what it's like to do business here in the city of Ventura. Dan Fredrickson currently sits on the board of directors of three companies, Black Raven Energy, Side Decor, and Culligan International. Prior to that, he was the managing director of OFCO. Dan was the president also of Kinko's Incorporated, and he started and was CEO of Pink Dot Grocery Delivery and was a regional controller for Xerox. Dan is a graduate of Central Missouri State University. He now lives in Ventura with his wife. Joining me in studio, hi, Dan. How are you doing today?
How are you doing, Bill?
Well, thank you so much for coming in. Appreciate it. And 60 California Street now is the first new high-rise office building to be built in Ventura in the past 10 years. So what were some of the factors that determined Ventura needed additional office space? Why did you choose to build the building there and at that time?
Well, a couple things. The downtown, basically, it had no new office space. In fact, I believe for about 20 years.
Yeah.
And except for the one really nice office building on the corner of California and Palm.
Right, which is a lovely building.
Right. And Paul and I had started investing in real estate, along with my wife, about 10 years ago. And I wanted to do something downtown, really didn't know what. And we had the opportunity to buy a building that was really in disrepair, had no historical significance, but it was well located. Small piece of property, at California Street, one block from Main Street. Initially, we were going to do condos because the condo market was pretty hot at the time. And after I learned more about the issues associated with liability from construction defect, I decided not to do that. And I toyed with the idea of possibly building an office building because I like being a commercial landlord, and decided to start that. And that was in probably 2003.
Wow.
And, in fact, as I prepared for our meeting here, we actually started talking with the city in 2004, and the building was complete in 2009. So the process basically was a five-year process.
Now, you've done real estate throughout the United States, particularly when you're with Kinko's. You're very familiar with what it takes to build something out. Mm-hmm. How does a five-year build-out, a five-year construction, compare to other parts of the United States?
Well, I think that you have to separate California a little bit. I believe that Ventura, my guess, is in the lower quartile of the availability to be able to develop, even in California. That's at least my experience. We also have a major development in Missouri. And in Missouri, if you show the willingness to contribute to the community, be part of the community, they go to excess lengths to make sure you get your project finished by your streets, make sure your parking, make sure your fire department safety is done well, and it's amazing. Now, Ventura is relatively interesting, I think, from the standpoint that I don't think that the city has ever decided or wanted to treat the citizen as a customer first. I think just as a citizen, for instance, my roads were promised to be finished 10, 15 years ago. They aren't. They're horrible. Even though they've said within their internal documents the streets have been finished, they aren't finished. But my point is this, is that we have almost a converse relationship with government and the citizen. For instance, if we're dealing in retail as a business person, I would tell you that the utmost form of customer service is availability. Kinko's was open 24 hours a day.
That's right.
This was started, of course, by 7-Eleven, this type of idea years and years, years ago, and it worked. So if you want to do anything for your customer, you've got to be there. Of course, the city very proudly closes on Friday, and they keep their offices open from 8 to 5, which is when everybody else is working somewhere else. So basically, there's no attentiveness to the customer. In addition, I think that there are small things that mean an awful lot as it relates to your ability to be able to get hold of people that do things within your government. And if you take a cruise of the website, now it's better now, but they'll have three different URLs on their emails, and they won't change it. So you've got cityofventura.net, venturapd.net, and city.ca.ca.us or whatever it is.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's no attempt there to say, okay, well, let's make this simple. All right, let's tie down to one, make it simple. I brought it up, and it was ignored as not being important. My opinion differs. The other thing is that if you look within how the city is organized on its website, documentation and stuff like that, it's difficult to get to people who really don't want to talk to you. And that would include phone numbers and things like that. So I think it's a climate. It's a culture. And I personally believe that organizations take on the characteristics that the owner and leader want them to take on, either by omission sometimes or by pre-design. Paul Orphel and I are drastically different people. Paul's a serial entrepreneur. He's both smarter and dumber than I am. He's just brilliant. And other times I say, Paul, gee, man, Christmas, come out of the rain. You know, but the good news is that on everything that was important to our business, we agreed on. And that was honesty, ethics, serving the customer, taking care of the coworkers, and doing the right thing. And I think that if you have a good basis from your personal attitudes about business or managing or governing, that you can be successful. And I think that's one of the challenges we have. I like to say the fish rots from the head.
Hmm. Well, now, that's a very interesting perspective. My guest is Dan Fredrickson. He is past president of Kinko's. He is also the builder of the largest office building in downtown Ventura in the past 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And you say it starts from the head, but here's my challenge to you. Every 4 years, we have elections, and we have a city council that we elect members to that city council. Mm-hmm. Now, it seems this year that many of the members of the city council are running for supervisor, mm-hmm. but that notwithstanding, there's turnover, constant churn right there in the city council ranks. So my question to you is, if the fish rots at the head, but the head is changing constantly, what does that tell us? Isn't that just telling us that the city of Ventura's citizens want this type of stagnation?
First of all, I think that's a very good question, and I think that there's a misconception there. And in my mind, the misconception is, and I had this talk with Rick Cole about it the other day, is if you're going to be the CEO of a company, you always have a board of directors. You have to manage them. The reality is we need a leader in our city, and we don't have it.
Mm.
We've got a bunch of Indians. And we're organized with city council people at large. And they're all smart, and they're well-intended, and they work hard and everything else. But they chase their own objectives. I can't even get anybody to relate to me relative to my neighborhood because they're busy chasing everybody else's objectives.
Well, it's funny because one of the council members I know for a fact lives in your neighborhood.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And yet this particular city council member is not concerned about the streets and so forth. You can't get his attention on something as simple as your own backyard.
The only responsive person I've had relative to the personal issues I've had with the city has been Christy Ware. And Christy and I worked on the Downtown Ventura organization, and I think she's probably one of the most thoughtful, well-intended people that we have in government. That said, very seldom do I agree with Christy on most things, but she knows that, and she'll be laughing at this and saying, I wish I could be there to tell, you know.
Well, Christy's been a guest on the show.
Right. Yeah. But nonetheless, I think, and Christy affirmed my position relative to that. But I think if we go back and we look at how we're structured on with a board of directors or a city council or whatever, they have to be managed. And the city needs leadership that says, I want to go here. And they have to be able to sell that to their city council people and move forward. In absence of that, what you have is you have no accountability anywhere, no authority really anywhere. And so what happens then, I think, is that it's a malaise that goes through the entire organization.
All right. Let me shotgun two quick questions at you. First of all, do you think it's time for Ventura to have an elected mayor rather than an appointed mayor from the city council?
That's another question that has a lot of positives and negatives. I think it all depends on who the mayor is, obviously. If we could get Giuliani here for a few weeks, then I'd be fine with that. Mm. However, I think that there's good and bad goes with the mayor. The one thing great about a mayor is the mayor's accountable at every election to the city. Okay. The issue you've got with a city manager type of government is they're accountable to the city council. And there can be an awful lot of dynamics at play here. There can be politics at play, which there are all the time. Mm-hmm. There can be personalities at play. And I think that some of the roles and responsibilities are confused, in fairness to everybody, with the types of situation that we have.
All right.
So at least a mayor would say, okay, you got the ding-dong. All right. The culture's yours. You're it. And you're not going to stay in the job if you don't do the job.
All right, fair enough. Let me shotgun another quick question at you. Mm-hmm. You're very opinionated on this. Why haven't you considered, or have you considered, running for city council yourself?
You know, it's fortunate. I think that I've been asked to run for city council several times. And I think that I'm conflicted. And I'm conflicted because I think that the way that the organization is set up with the city manager role the way that it is requires acute politics almost at every turn to get things done. And I'm not sure how well I'll operate in that venue. I also have my personal life to consider. We have other property mm-hmm. out of here, and my wife's my partner, and she's not real excited to have to stay up Monday night and watch me on television making a fool out of myself. But that's not without a possibility in the future some point.
You leave the door open for that, and certainly that's commendable. You talk about, you know, the politics of City Hall. One of the major issues at City Hall is the fact that we have four different unions that have to be managed by the city manager. And Rick Cole has been on the show talking about juggling the balls with those four different unions. How well would you work in a union environment like that? Because Kinko's was a right-to-work shop.
Right. First of all, I really empathize with Rick with the issues that he's got with public unions. And that is a hard, hard line to walk. That said, I think that we've got a culture. We have several former union people in our government. We have union organizations that basically, I believe, blackmail these politicians with their support. For instance, we aren't going to give you our support.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that there's an implied threat that they won't vote for him again.
But let me challenge you on that, if I can, Dan. My guest is Dan Fredrickson. Let me just challenge you for a moment on that, because Neil Anders ran for city council and won the last mm-hmm. time, and he did not have the support of several major unions, fire and police, mm-hmm. most notably among them. So it is possible for somebody to win a seat on city council without having that union support.
Oh, I think it's definitely possible. To me, it's just a process. It's just not fair to have somebody advocate for somebody that's paying your salary. I mean, I just think that it's just, it's slimy. Now, you talk a little bit, I'll tell you how I feel about unions. I think that unions are not all the same. They're drastically different union to union to union. And I think that initially when they were supported, they were to support the needs of the workers that were not being treated very effectively.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I would tell you now that government basically has taken over the role of the past unions. We have the EOC. We have laws regarding how people sit, how they stand, where they go to the bathroom at, how wide the bathrooms are, how often they have to be flushed. And I mean, a little bit silly here. But the fact of the matter is we have so many rules today that were not in effect to support the worker than they were yesterday. So to me, there's some redundancies within the union that I just can't buy. The other thing here, and this is just as an entrepreneur and a leader, is I cannot do the right thing for my coworkers if a union's just interested in their own personal interest. And I think that could have stopped Kinko's in its tracks. And I would tell you that I think that primarily the reason we didn't have issues with it is people had it really, really good at Kinko's.
Hmm.
We believed in unrestrained profit sharing. I believe that benefits basically are the cradle that you put your people in and then demand high performance from. But I think I can do that better than the union can do it. I also especially have an issue with union as it relates to personal performance. The reality is that nobody wants to work with a deadhead and the desk next to him having to do more work because this jerk won't do the amount of work that he's supposed to do. And the union supports an environment like that consistently.
My guest is Dan Fredrickson, local entrepreneur, past president of Kinko's, and also the man behind 60 California Street, the largest new office complex in downtown Ventura. Dan, let's talk about that culture at Kinko's for just one more minute, if we can, because you and Paul Orfila, the founder of Kinko's, really nurtured with the coworkers there an environment. And it starts with the term coworkers, because you and Paul both did not refer to people who worked for you as employees or as anything else. They were coworkers. So talk to us about this environment that you and Paul built together.
Well, Paul started Kinko's a long time before I came there, and I think that he really set the stage for a good, excellent culture at Kinko's. And a lot of that was risk-taking. A lot of that was having fun. A lot of that was being somewhat in-your-face culture. If you don't like what's being done, you can tell somebody without expecting retribution. And I like that. I think the things that I brought to the culture have a lot to do with the idea of benchmarking other companies' benefits and making sure we had better ones, ensuring our compensation was fair, ensuring the way the company was organized was to maximize its efficiency and collect its receivables and stuff like that, and provide promotional paths for people that weren't available before. And so the idea is that the culture at Kinko's is you could trust the system. Now, you could trust the system to take you out of the job if you weren't doing the job right. Mm. But the fact of the matter is that, well, I don't think Kinko's was a family. I don't buy that in business. I think that people that call their business a family are using it as an excuse not to treat their people fair. And to me, I'm a professional. I'm radical about ethics at the workplace. And doing the right thing, and making sure people are comfortable where you work.
And certainly people were at Kinko's, no doubt. My guest has been Dan Fredrickson, local entrepreneur, as well as serial entrepreneur, as well as the owner and builder of 60 California Street in downtown. Dan, if people want to learn more about you, maybe learn more about the building, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
For our office, it's Lee & Associates, David Kim is our representative, and you can find them on the web. I don't have that with me
right
now.
That's our Lee & Associates.
Right. And they can also reach me via email at max.boater, B-O-A-T-E-R, at me.com. And tells my old hobby, boating.
Yes.
So I'll answer any email that you have.
Well, Dan, you are very forthright, very honest. Thank you so much for being my special guest here on The Bill Frank Show. We'll talk to you down the road.